It's In the Moment from SDPB Radio. I'm Matt Wiesner with Summer with the Symphony. Each week through the summer months, performances from the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra. And today, music recorded in January at the Washington Pavilion in Sioux Falls. It's a set of four poems, followed by four movements by Chinese-American composer Zhou Long, Poems from Tong. And before we dig into the music, Lori Walsh spoke with South Dakota Symphony Orchestra music director Delta David Geyer.
Tell us a little bit. I want to start with Zhou Long, because this is an incredible composer with a really powerful story. How did you meet him? You've been working with him for a while.
Well, so it was, must have been 2009, maybe 2010. I was a chair of the jury for the Pulitzer Prize in music. And Zhou Long won the prize that year. And he's the first Chinese American to ever win a Pulitzer Prize in any category. But we'd never met. And I knew about him and his wife, Chen Yi, who is also a composer. But they now teach at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. And so I thought, well, I'm just going to jump in the car and drive down and have dinner with Zhou Long. So I did, and it began a very wonderful relationship. And since then, performed both of their works many times. But it fits into a larger picture for us. It has to do with bridging cultures, which we've talked about many times on this program. So the Lakota Music Project is the spearhead of bridging cultures, the idea that an arts organization, a symphony orchestra in particular, can serve its unique community by engaging with peoples of different cultures and backgrounds within our own community.
Yeah.
Or in our case, our community is the entire state of South Dakota. So that began over 15 years ago with the building of the Lakota Music Project. But along the way, we have engaged with several other cultures here in Sioux Falls. And the first of those was with the Chinese Association of Sioux Falls. And Chen Yi and Zhou Long came for a concert that we did. It was just chamber music, and it was just their works. And this was at the First Congregational Church. And the Chinese Association hosted a meal afterwards for about 80 of the Chinese people who came to the event. And so during the concert, both Zhou Long and Chen Yi talked about growing up during the Cultural Revolution in China and how it shaped their music and why they composed their music to express their traditional Chinese culture.
You know so much, you know, through your studies and your experience with composers throughout history being oppressed and how they have responded to it. And here is a contemporary version of this man who was, you know, banished and has to work on a farm, can't create any kind of music. There's a whole period of his time where he's too dangerous to create art. Mm-hmm. This is still happening. There's something that something in us wants that to be, you know, sort of relegated to history. But it's still something that you see maybe, you know, happening in, you know, Iran or Iraq or North Korea or, you know, places where this oppression still exists. Does he talk about that? Does Zhou Long talk about that time and what it was like to have this thing taken away from you?
Yes, he does. And that was part of this meal that we had after the first time they came, was like a talkback session with these 80 or so Chinese people who now reside in Sioux Falls. And because they all immigrated out of they were pretty much the same generation, leaving in the wake of the Cultural Revolution. So Chen Yi would talk about, you know, being a young musician, and her parents were university professors, and there was one night when the police came and they took her parents away and left her at age 13 with her little brother in the apartment alone. And that was it, you know. And she was sitting on the piano bench with her violin inside of it so that they wouldn't take it. And she was sent away for years to carry sticks on her back up and down a mountain and Jo Long, they didn't know each other at the time. I think she was from Guangzhou. Jo Long was from Beijing. Jo Long gets sent, way out to the far western part of China near Russia, where he says it's much colder than it is here.
Yeah.
And had to live in a tent. And for 6 years, he was a farmer. And his piano skills and all of that went away during that time. And so after the Cultural Revolution and the universities were reopened and all of this, and they both found each other at the conservatory in Beijing. And then they came, actually, their teacher was at Columbia University, yeah. Chao Wencheng, was maybe the grandfather of these Chinese composers of classical music now. But he also, expressed his specifically Chinese culture through the music he composed. So he taught Jo Long and Chen Yi to do the same. Mm-hmm. And now they've gone on, and then winning the Pulitzer Prize was a huge thing, The Chinese are very happy about Jo Long winning this American prize.
Right.
So he now works also in China. He goes there for a couple of months out of the year and works and teaches. So
anytime you attend a South Dakota Symphony Orchestra concert, particularly one that is focused on a bridging cultures theme, you stand in a place where you're surrounded by different languages, mm-hmm. and different people bringing their grandparents who have never been to the pavilion before, mm-hmm. to sit down. There's new people who are new Americans. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned like 15 years, the sort of bridging cultures program has been going on. A lot has happened in the last 15 years. And it seems to me that it's continuing to happen in our political culture today. The symphony was doing this work of bringing people together and saying we're all human, mm-hmm. and this dangerous work of music, which apparently some governments in other places find music itself to be so inherently dangerous to get rid of it or oppress it. This is just Tuesday for the symphony. This is just part of what you already do. I guess what I'm getting at is you're not reacting to anything, in the news right now. This is part of who you are for more than a decade.
Right. And it's part of what our art form has always been. I mean, multiculturalism in music 300 years ago was Bach sitting in Germany writing in the style of the Italians and the French. Because Italy and France was a lot further away from Germany back then than it is now.
Right.
So these cultures coming in contact with each other, and then Beethoven, a century later, Beethoven and Mozart are incorporating Turkish music into their compositions from the Ottoman Empire, the Janissary bands roaming around. And then we had this whole nationalism movement in music in the end of the 19th century, and composers like Grieg or Rimsky-Korsakov. And they would write, Norwegian works and Russian works, but then they would also visit other places and Rimsky-Korsakov would write Capriccio Español, which is a postcard home from Spain to back to Russia.
Yeah.
And so they're always, and people now want to talk about cultural appropriation, and certainly that's a thing, to be grappled with, but in our art form, it's always been a gesture of respect, almost awe, of wanting not to absorb this music and make it my own, but rather a gesture from one culture to another, and that's what we find. But it continues to grow this way, our art form. The perception in America now is that classical music is dying and audiences and, yada, yada, yada. It's actually not true. I mean, orchestras are thriving, opera companies are thriving all across the country. We're trying to broaden the scope of it break down the perception of the ivory tower and all of that. But the fact is that globally, classical music is waxing, not waning. Like, there's a new orchestra in China like every other month. There are Arab composers and there are Maori Indian composers from New Zealand writing classical music. So this is who we are and who we are becoming.
Yeah.
And not just across the globe, but right here in Sioux Falls, South
Dakota. I was going to say, and because of the work that you've done, there are Lakota students who are now composers. There are high school students in South Dakota from all kinds of backgrounds who are finding out that they too can have a voice through music.
Well, and it helps us as a community to understand one another. You can come into the pavilion and experience a lot of wonderful music, but for the first half of the program, you will come in contact not just with Chinese culture, but with the Chinese Association of Sioux Falls.
Right.
You know, like it's going to start with the lion dance team of Sioux Falls.
Your neighbors, yeah.
Yeah, right. And so they're going to be in the hall dancing with our percussion section to start. And then Joe Long is going to come out and he's going to read these poems that his work is based on in Chinese, you know, but we'll have super titles in English. And then we'll play this music, which is crafted to there are no traditional Chinese instruments in this piece that we're playing this weekend, but a lot of imitation of that. Like you can hear the arhu and the pipa and these different Chinese instruments in the way that Joe Long has written for the particularly the string instruments of the orchestra to play.
Yeah.
So, and he's expressing the poetry and the music of his culture, which he loves.
Yeah.
And we can therefore have something other than economics and politics to focus on with China. And this is no trade war that we're talking about here, right?
Right.
You know, this is human to human, you know, communicating through what we love.
Yeah. Poetry, music,
yeah.
Western instruments.
Right.
Eastern sounds, everything converges in this great hall.
Exactly.
Very briefly, the Dakota String Quartet, who's really featured in mm-hmm. this Poems from Tang, have you noticed after the journey to Washington, D.C. as part of the Lakota Music Project and really the you know, the challenges that they had musically, that they had to, you know, work on these very intense pieces and mm-hmm. Are they a different quartet than they were a year ago?
It's beautiful to watch them coalesce. This is a banner year for them. I mean, their first professional recording coming out of that D.C. trip, quartet of Arthur Farwell, and now to be featured. Poems from Tang is actually a concerto for string quartet and orchestra.
Right.
So they'll be out in front of the orchestra, and so they're really, really gelling. And with a brand new cellist.
Right.
You know, I mean, when we had a Chinese cellist before, but she's pregnant. She may be having a baby as we speak. so she's on leave this year. But Robbie, this young firebrand of a cellist, joined us this fall. And it's just been so beautiful to watch them galvanize as a quartet very, very quickly.
Delta David Geyer is music director of the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra, speaking with Lori Walsh here on In the Moment. And next, here's the music, Joe Long's Poems from Tang on Summer with the Symphony on SDPB.
Lu Chai by Wang Wei. Kong San Bu Jian Ren, Dan Wen Ren Yu Sheng. Fan Jing Ru Shen Lin, Fu Zhao Qing Tai Shang. Zhu Li Guan, Du Zuo Yu Huang Li. 弹琴复长啸，深林人不知，明月来相照。
Thank you.
渔翁，白柳宗元。渔翁夜傍西岩树，小楫清香燃楚竹。烟消日出不见人，嗷唉一声山水路。回看天际下中流，岩上无心云香烛。
Thank you.
听树曾训弹琴，百里白。树曾抱绿玉起，西下峨眉峰。唯我一挥手，如听万壑松。客心洗流水，遗响入霜中。不觉碧山暮，秋云暗几重。 执掌骑马似乘船，眼花落井水底眠，儒阳三斗始朝天，道逢驱车口流言，恨不移风向九泉，左相日兴费万钱，隐如长鲸西百川，鲜卑乐圣称避嫌，宗之潇洒美少年，举觞白眼望青天，娇如玉树临风前，苏姬长斋秀佛前，醉中往往爱桃禅，李白一斗诗百篇，长安市上酒家眠，天子呼来不上船，自称陈氏酒中仙，张旭三杯草圣传，脱毛露顶王宫前，挥毫落纸如云烟，交碎五斗方卓然，高谈雄辩惊四燕。
Recorded at the Washington Pavilion this past January, Delta David Geyer with the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra on Summer with the Symphony, recorded by Earsay. I'm Matt Wiesner, and each week through the summer months, performances from the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra. And next time, the principal cellist with the Minnesota Orchestra joins the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra for music by Sergei Prokofiev. Anthony Ross with the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra and Prokofiev's Sinfonia Concertante. That's next time on Summer with the Symphony here on STPB.